Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. We are recording this on Wednesday night, late in the East. Not as late in Los Angeles where I am, but the Celtics game is over. Jackie joined us after that. Did the Celtics hang on to win that game, Jackie?
They did not.
The Pacers beat them.
Yes.
Nice win for the Pacers.
Cleveland did not hang on to beat the Rockets.
Yes. James Harden.
Screwing that one up.
Timothy Band McMahon joining us from Dallas. McMahon, Harden's scoring average against the bottom three defensive teams this year is like 56 points.
Harden just had 55 and shot only 5 free throws. Got me all basketball reference in. And Rick Barry is the only player in NBA history to score more points while shooting 5 or fewer free throws in a game. So take that for Harden just being a guy who baits people into fouls and tricks refs.
Well, I saw his over-under tonight was like 41.5.
Well, and I think that was factored in. They didn't think he'd have to go on a 24-0 run to make sure that Harden would get maximum playing time.
Right. Well, anyway, he went over, and the Rockets won. But the real story of tonight, and our listeners are going to listen to this on Thursday, and they'll have hopefully seen this or heard about this, was, you know, Kawhi going back to Toronto. The Pacers won the game relatively easily. Not the Pacers, oh my God, brain fart. The Clippers won the game relatively easily. You know, actually, it's not over yet, but they're up handily. I'd probably just jinx them, but they're up by 20.
I was going to say, it'll be over by the time they listen, but you might have totally screwed this thing up now.
By the way, I just did a Trae Young and said the game is over because there's 7 seconds Ooh. Left and the Celtics are down 2. So that game's not over either.
That's
Russell
amazing.
Westbrook had the same thing happen, by the way, against the Timberwolves in old 88. I always just say 88 because I always mess up his name. 88 hit the game winner from like 33 feet after scoring 30 in a win in Dallas the previous night. How about them Kangs?
You mean Nemanja Bjelica?
Yes, that 88.
Great. That shot was so, it was like 40 feet away. It was so far away.
Yes. Now, they screwed up the switch and left him wide open, but still, I mean, that was cold blooded. And then he cussed on the Kings TV broadcast.
Yes,
but you hit that shot, you deserve an F-bomb.
So, Kawhi's return, I thought the Raptors handled it beautifully. Two things that I saw. One, they did what I had never seen this before. They retraced his steps using their lighting system where everywhere he moved, like his footprints, it was all, the arena was all darkened and they used like color to highlight his footprints where he caught the ball, ran, and shot it. I thought that was really cool. And then the video that they played, they did a great job of interspersing his highlights with the way the city of Toronto reacted. They had these incredible crowd shots. They had, you know, footage from the street, footage from the parade. And, of course, Toronto gave him a standing ovation. And he went through and he embraced the owner, Larry Tannenbaum, Masai Ujiri, the president, Bobby Webster, the GM, Nick Nurse, and the other coaches and the players he played with. And then at the end of the line, Kyle Lowry was holding his ring. I thought it was so cool handled. I can't, you know, it was a very unique return game. Very rarely in a return game is the MVP. It's never happened before. The MVP is coming back to get his ring. So it wasn't like, you know, you can't compare it to, you know, what other teams have done. But I thought it was really classy, Jackie, and they set a new standard for that.
Yes, it was. And, you know, I was on Around the Horn today, and everyone was talking about, will he get booed, will he get cheered? I mean, to me, this was the biggest no-brainer ever. Of course they were going to cheer him because Masai made a calculated gamble to take on Kawhi, knowing it was probably even likely going to be for 1 year. But it's kind of like signing Garrett Cole to all that money. If he gets you a championship, you don't care what happens after that. And I think that's the same thing here. And, you know, it's funny because Kawhi was only there 1 year. It's not like Kyle Lowry left or, you know, something like that. So it was a very, very brief courtship and a very, very brief marriage, but it was one that was very fruitful. People got mad at me, I guess, today when I said, you know, we have turned Kawhi Leonard into a little bit of a saint, you know, the saintly Kawhi. He did leave them. Now, he had every right to do so. He was a free agent. I'm not quarreling with it. That's his right as a player. But, you know, before we make him out to be the, you know, everyone said, hey, he handled this exactly right. Well, if you're the Toronto Raptors, if he handled it exactly right, he'd still be playing for you.
Necessarily true, though, because they traded for him knowing that he wanted to go to L.A. I mean, everybody in the world knew. So
understood.
Kawhi handled himself like the ultimate professional, led them to their championship, made no promises ever at any point about staying.
Understood.
So, I mean, to boo him would have been absolutely insane.
Oh, well, no one's saying that. I don't think anyone should have booed him. And I think he deserved that ring and deserved that wonderful ceremony tonight. What I'm saying is, does he really deserve to be canonized, though? You know, but
let me ask you this, Jackie.
Interesting to me.
I think they should retire his jersey.
Oh no! Wow, really?
I do.
I can't sign off.
If you are the primary wins its only championship, I think that's jersey retirement stuff right there. You know, it's funny. Rick Carlisle once publicly declared that Tyson Chandler's jersey should be retired. He had 2 years in Dallas, separate, but obviously the one, he was the final major piece to a championship. Now, Kristaps Porzingis is wearing number 6, but that's neither here nor there. I think that Kawhi should absolutely have his jersey retired there.
Wow. He was Jackie, the problem
major
is
major reason they won a championship.
Go ahead, Brian. I just think jersey retirements, to me, there is a portion of longevity involved.
Well, in Boston, that's for sure true. You know.
Well, and listen, there's plenty of numbers up in Boston's Raptors that shouldn't be up there. Let me be clear. I'm not going to go down the list, but there are some up there that, frankly, don't probably belong up there. But it's a sentimental town for a place that just kept winning them over and over.
I can't wait till Kyrie's is up there.
You know,
well,
frankly,
and his character will be in it. That'll be interesting. And his character will be hanging from the Raptors going, get me down, get me down. Because he's wearing
Kyrie
number 11.
Kyrie should be retired in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think you could make that argument.
You
could make that argument.
The thing about retired jerseys, you need to kind of go franchise to franchise to see the standard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
On his other teams, I can just tell you from Cleveland. Now, granted, some of those guys were the guys of my childhood, but like, with all due respect to, some of the guys who are up there, they don't match what Kyrie Irving did. So I think Kyrie's jersey should hang. I think Kawhi's jersey should hang. Toronto doesn't exactly have a lot of selection of doing it.
So what you're saying is Kyrie should be ahead of disrespect. You should say Kyrie should be ahead of Bingo Smith. Is that what you're telling me? That's what you're telling me, right?
I mean, I don't want to offend Bingo Smith, but Nate Thurmond, you know, I mean, we're getting into down the Cavs. Nate Thurmond played for the Cavs for like a year and a half and got his jersey retired. So, you know, Kyrie brought them a championship. So, I absolutely think he should get his jersey retired. But, you know, it's sort of, after the way the Cavs handled the LeBron exit the first time, it was such a black mark on their franchise that I now think that everyone falls all over themselves to not be that. And I think in some ways, now this was a unique situation. But sometimes people are like, listen, we're not going to be the letter. We're not going to have the letter here. But
tribute videos though in general are out of control. Like some guys get tribute videos that you're like, are you serious?
No, I agree with that. I agree with that too. I don't know.
When Isaiah Thomas was going to get one, Rondo spoke up and was like, we give tribute videos for guys who made the conference finals now. And then in Cleveland, when Kyrie was coming back after the trade demand, the Cavs put together a tribute video. The players did not want it to run, but again, because of the scar tissue of what happened with LeBron before, they felt like they had to do it. And then Gordon Hayward had the unfortunate injury. And in the early part of the game, and it blew up the Cavs' sequencing, and they never played it. And we asked them, why didn't you play it? And they said, after the Hayward injury, we just didn't feel it was appropriate. I don't know if that made a lot of sense, but they didn't play it. And it was okay with the player, with the Cavs players, because they didn't want them to play it, because they didn't like Kyrie.
That's interesting.
But I think Hayward, they were right.
You're not necessarily wrong about that.
They were right about it being inappropriate, though. I think it would have been inappropriate. I mean, that whole place, that injury cast a pall over that entire building.
Yeah. You know, when Hayward went back to Utah, they released, I mean, they could have been a Vine, but it was a quick little video that they tweeted. It got, you know, just awful reception from Utah fans, and they didn't show it in the arena. But, you know, I don't know. To me, though, it's just like the tribute. Sometimes they play tribute videos for guys who are like seventh man for a couple years. Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's subjective.
Well,
I mean, Bruce Bowen's number is retired in San Antonio. I think that's the greatest thing I've ever heard, because Bruce Bowen
Brad Davis in Dallas.
Right, but Bruce Bowen won championships, and he embodied
exactly
everything that Pop believed in. And I thought that was great. And I don't know what Bruce Bowen's career average is. We could look it up pretty quickly. Troy, let me see if I can get that so we can have it on our podcast. But, I mean,
But he was at least a key part of multiple championship teams.
Oh, yeah, he was a great defender. Yeah, career average is 6 points a game. Love it. Love that.
Okay, so he beats Brad Davis. Brad Davis is in Dallas was 8.6. No finals.
Well, Brad wasn't known as a defensive stopper. I mean, Bowen was known as a defensive player, and I don't know that Brad Davis was, so.
He was a fan favorite.
It's not something that will be, it's not something that'll be on anybody's plate anytime soon, because you wouldn't do it until after he's retired anyway, and he's got years left. I just think that, you know, number two should be retired. I mean, Colin Sexton's wearing number two in Cleveland, and so the Cavs
not
had no
well
problem
either
handing it away, so I don't think they intend to retire in the short term, and Kyrie's got years left as well. Speaking of Kyrie, Jason Tatum was asked about whether he could make the All-Star team this year. He said, "I'd love to make it. It'd be a great honor." And you know, he's averaging 21-7 for a team that's been pretty good this year. I've been a pleasant surprise. I started thinking about the Eastern Conference All-Star team. This is going to be an interesting year for it.
You say there's not enough candidates. I disagree. Are you saying there's tough decisions or not enough?
All right.
Are you saying not enough or tough decisions?
I'm saying there's going to be new blood. Tough decisions, but I'm going to say there's new blood. I'm saying there's new blood and potentially some controversial ones.
Let's start with which previous All-Stars are sure things.
Giannis,
Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, Joel Embiid, and despite the, I think you got to go Bradley Beal.
Okay.
Can we agree those five returning guys being
Simmons?
He's
Ben Simmons?
Borderline.
He is not borderline. No, he's not.
He's borderline.
Beast playing great defense. He's very, very important to that team. No, I disagree.
Tobias Harris might be a better candidate than him this year.
No, couldn't disagree more. Three. Oh, my goodness. Tim, I just couldn't disagree more.
The Sixers
right
have a lot of wins.
So do we.
Their record's pretty good, and Ben Simmons has been a big part of a lot of wins. But, I mean, who are you putting on instead of him? I mean, that's what I would have to say about that.
Well, new blood we're talking about. Siakam is an absolute
lock.
Exclamation point, hell yes.
Agree.
To me, I think Tatum, I mean, the way that the Celtics are winning, I think Tatum's a selection. You know,
Jackie Tatum before Jalen Brown? Because I think Jalen Brown before Tatum.
Yeah.
Well, I think Tatum would get it before Jalen Brown, but if you look at what's been going on, especially in the last few weeks, and it is early yet to be voted for the All-Star team, if you ask me which one I would take over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I would take Brown. But Jason Tatum will get this. This is because we know how this works, how these things are voted, and he's the guy that's supposed to be getting it. And he's played very, very well, and he's hit some really, really big shots. But Jaylen Brown has been the better complete player. over the last couple of weeks. Although I will tell you, Jason Tatum's defense has really impressed me. Really impressed me this year.
He made a really good Trae Young's numbers are ridiculous. How much do you discount those because the Hawks are horrible and he's a big part of their defense being just absolutely dreadful? But
how about Malcolm Brogdon for the Pacers?
Is Brogdon or Sabonis the Pacers' best candidate?
That's a good question.
That's a debate.
That is a debate. They're both
Spencer Dinwiddie with the Nets. The Nets are winning without Kyrie, and he is killing.
Fred VanVleet will make a case
for. So Kyrie is probably going to get.
No Kyrie.
Kyrie hasn't played. He hasn't played.
Kyrie is probably going to get voted in, but he's probably going to get voted in.
Would be more.
You think, though? Don't you think he's taking a hit here? I don't know, but don't you think he's taking a hit? A PR hit with everything that's gone on with him?
I don't know.
Perhaps. His shoes still sell like hotcakes.
He's really
right?
popular.
Yeah. Yep. As he should be. I mean, he's a really great player when he's playing. No question.
How about I agree with you on VanVleet. Man, Drummond to me is the Pistons' best
Drummond's
candidate.
Drummond's better. He's better. Yeah, he is. I agree.
Leading the league in rebounding. Blocking a ton of shots, playing good defense.
Blake missed time early, but he's, Blake's averaging 18 and 5 rebounds, I think. And
Heat are absolutely tearing it up.
All right,
Bam
who's the second guy out of Milwaukee? Adebayo, yeah.
Good choice. You know what? I don't know. Middleton missed a bunch of games.
Hurt. Yeah.
I don't know if there is a second guy in Milwaukee.
There may not be. So what was your thought on this, Brian?
Last year, here are guys who made the Eastern Conference All-Star team last year that I do not think will make it this year. All right? Victor Oladipo, obviously. Kyle Lowry has missed a bunch of time. Mm-hmm. I think if there's a second Raptor, I do think it's VanVleet. Blake Griffin has missed a bunch of time. Has had some good games, but up and down. Nikola Vucevic has been out, missed a bunch of time. Chris Middleton has missed a bunch of time. But you figure they're going to get a second one. They're going to be on pace for 60 wins.
Kawhi goes west, so you lose
that's
Kawhi because he goes west.
Kawhi goes west. So there's slots available.
D'Angelo Russell, think about this. He was on the east last year. He goes west, too. He made it with the Nets last year, didn't he, as a reserve? I think he did. And he goes west
he
also.
Did.
He might have been
retired.
Was he an injury replacement?
Yeah, he was. He was. And, of course, Dwayne Wade, that was the sympathy,
doesn't count. Just like Dirk doesn't count. I mean, it counts for their record, but they weren't really.
Right, but I'm just saying, if we're doing a head count, he was also from the East, representing the East, Dwayne Wade was. Of course, Jimmy Butler added him from West to East.
As a 13th man.
Well, right. But Jimmy Butler comes West to East.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact timing. Was he already traded or no by then? Wasn't traded yet?
Who?
He was traded by then. Butler was traded by.
Wade?
No, yeah. Butler was traded from.
Jimmy Butler did not make the All-Star
team.
Wow. Jimmy Butler did not make the All-Star team.
That's right, he didn't. Yeah, he deserved to. Yeah, he was causing all sorts of commotion. That's right. He sure as heck should make it this year.
So I definitely think Trae Young should make it.
I mean, the numbers are crazy.
I would like.
It'd be fun. It'd be super fun to have.
And I would like to find a spot for Adebayo, who I think has been a great factor on.
Well, especially if the Heat are second or third in the East by the time it comes. I think Dinwiddie has to be in there.
That's going to be an interesting one, depending on when Kyrie comes back and what happens to him when Kyrie comes back.
I can't believe how many games Kyrie has missed. Can you? I'm really surprised.
Well, I do know that a shoulder impingement is not
a
joke.
I know. As you guys know, that's where all my troubles started. I'm not an NBA player, but I'm not questioning whether he's lying. Believe me, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that he could play and he's not. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just, I thought they were talking about him. He was shooting and he was, in practice and that I thought he was coming back. I thought he'd be back by now.
Well, the West will be interesting because, Curry? I'm sure Curry will get voted in. I don't know if he can play.
I don't think he'll.
But you're going to have
be back play. Again.
By the way, the Nets lost tonight. They lost tonight. Oh no, it's still not over. I'm doing it again. I really want to be Trae Young when I don't grow up. doing it again. That game is still in progress. Goodness gracious, Jackie. See, it's past my bedtime.
So here's
the problem.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
How about the other night where there were two buzzer beaters in the NBA? Nemanja Bjelica with that long one, and then Derrick Rose shimmy shaking in the lane. Both going in as the buzzer sounded. One of the most exciting plays in basketball. And that meant that somebody was getting rewarded by Tissot, because they are running a terrific promotion right now that every time a buzzer beater happens, fans will be rewarded, including with prizes including flyaway trips, autographed merchandise, game tickets, and more. And somebody may have won a trip to the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago thanks to one of those shots. You can sign up for this awesome contest at us.tissotshop.com/buzzerbeater. Tissot is the official watch of the NBA. They make watches that are stylish, trendy, innovative, and made with the highest quality. And they also are the official timekeeper, which means that when those clocks go down towards that buzzer beater, they're making sure that they're going down perfectly. And they have all sorts of things set up for this iconic moment, the buzzer beater. Obviously, you can check out their latest timepieces at their website, in jewelry stores nationwide, and on the wrists of NBA stars like Trae Young, Klay Thompson, and many more. Follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/tissot.us. Follow them on Twitter at @tissot. And check out the hashtag, This Is Your Time. Here's an interesting one. So today, ESPN came out with their first edition of the Real Plus Minus numbers. Now, this is a composite stat. It's one of the few ways that you can analyze into one statistic defensive numbers. Now, it weighs a whole lot of things. It weighs your competition. It weighs who's on the court with you. It creates a number. And it gives you it ranks you in terms of the overall number, overall on offense and overall on defense. And far and away, the number one guy in plus minus, in a real plus minus. I've never seen a spread. Well, I can't say. Maybe I have. It's a huge spread.
Look at the defensive number, too, Brian. Look at the number, the defensive number.
Yeah.
Very, very healthy.
LeBron James with a 9.7 RPM, and James Harden is number two with a 6.7. Giannis, three with a 6.7.
Okay, our nerds need to get back to work, though, because, okay, Luka is 10th. I mean, come on, dude. And I'm scrolling. Anthony Davis is 27th.
He's not 27th. Doncic is 15th, my friend. But so we were just talking about Jason Tatum versus Jaylen Brown. Now, this isn't the only metric, obviously.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at wins here now.
Yeah, but Jaylen Brown's
whatever.
25th.
My point isn't.
Yeah, Jason Tatum, though. Look at his defensive number. Plus four.
Denzel freaking Valentine is higher than Luka Doncic. Get the hell out of here.
He's only played 11 games.
We should not publish that.
No, but here's
Barton's the best defensive player in the league?
Tim, here's
he's not
why.
The best because defensive player in a semi-pro little pro.
Tim, cool your jets, my friend. Cool your jets. The reason Luka doesn't show up well is, number one, defensively, his number is in the negative. Number two, Dallas's defense as a whole, and this is where Brian's talking about. You have to take these numbers and put them in their proper context. When your team is very good defensively, the individuals shine because of that. Conversely, if your team overall isn't a great defensive team, your numbers will suffer a little bit. That's always been
there. Is no context that has Denzel Valentine and Dante DiVincenzo players than freaking Luka Doncic in the 2019 NBA.
Who does Dante DiVincenzo play for? Who does he play for?
Milwaukee. Jaylen Brown.
Thank you.
Player. He's number 17 in real plus minus. He's a very nice ninth man. Ninth man does not equal number 17 in the league in any kind of advanced statistic that doesn't need some major overhauling. I just want our nerd this one. We need
this will, believe me, it works itself out over the course of the season. The reason the real defensive a real plus minus. I always ask GMs and coaches, I'm sure you guys do too, of all the metrics we boothead sports writers use as opposed to all the very sophisticated stuff they have, what's the closest thing to being a good metric? And they always say NBA real plus minus, but they also always say, but don't even look at it the first 2 or 3 months of the season. Wait until February and you'll start to see all the top players rise to the top. And Chris Middleton was such a real plus minus defensive darling. That's how he got that huge contract.
Well, that, and he played on a team that won a whole bunch of games, was their second best scorer.
Well, not, I'm not talking about last year.
So
I'm talking about before that. I'm not talking about last year.
So LeBron is, as I said, LeBron's RPM number is 9.7. Last year, LeBron's number was 5.4. So keep that in mind. The number one RPM player in the league last year was Paul George at 7.6. 2 years ago, the number one player was Chris Paul at 6.9. The last time we had anybody put up a number like this was LeBron back in 2015-16, 9.7 in arguably one of the greatest seasons of his career when he led the Cavs to the title. So LeBron, the point here is LeBron is playing at an incredibly high level. Some of the highest stats, at least in this RPM metric, that we have seen. And
all the time, like twice.
I think that's... You broke up, Tim. Say it again.
I said he's been as good as Denzel Valentine. That's how awesome LeBron's been.
Yeah. You know who ranks relatively high on RPM and is a guy that I think that no one is talking about? But could potentially be a trade deadline player is Davis Bertans.
Oh, Bobby Marks is talking about him. Bobby loves him.
He's having, okay, so outside of Bobby, he's having far and away a career year. Now, we may be seeing some inflated offensive statistics for again, the Wizards this year because
of the way they play.
Go ahead, Jackie.
No, you're right. Sorry. I'm sorry. So rude of me.
But you can't inflate this. He's shooting 47% on threes, on 9 threes a game. That right there is eye-popping.
And they're tough threes. I think it was Fred Katz who had all these numbers on, like, how many contested threes he hits, and it's a crazy number, crazy percentage.
Yeah, he has great size. So he's hard. Height. And so he's a defensive issue, but boy, there are some teams out there. Can you imagine if Philadelphia could get their hands on him? What kind of a difference he could make in that regard? I don't know if, I mean, he's a free agent to be. I don't know if Washington, I'd want to re-sign him, but I don't know what his plans are. But he's making $7 million.
Pittance. A mere pittance, sir. Bradley Beal said the other night he's the best shooter he's ever played with. How about that?
Wow.
The best shooter he's ever played
think
with. He said
about
that.
That.
He said that
well,
to
how
Candace
about if
Parker.
You're the Spurs? You traded him so you could sign Marcus Morris, and then Marcus Morris ditched
you.
Yeah. And this dude is lighting the world on fire. Now he's doing it for a bad team and blah, blah, blah. They're actually better defensively when he's on the floor, but that's not saying much.
Yeah, but they're the worst defensive team in the league, or second to worst, and his numbers show that.
Yeah. They're just trying to outscore teams.
But that's a guy that if your team needs a 3-point shooter, and he plays small forward, he's a power forward, but I guess you could put him at small. He's going to be in trouble defensively in either spot. Mm. But
right.
find the Latvian Laser, by the way, is his nickname.
Poor Pop. Don't you think Pop's got his head in his hands? He got his head in his hands over that, huh? Got him.
It's been a rough year for Pop. It's but I will say this,
it's like
McMahon,
the curse of the Olympics, Brian. I swear to God. The curse of the Olympic Games. It follows Pop everywhere. Think about it. As a player...
From 72, you mean?
Well, as a player, he thought he should have been on the team. Well, he'll never say that, but people around him said it. And then he was on Larry Brown's bench. and they had the bronze medal, remember? And then this summer, all the injuries in the world collapsed on his head. It's just like it's the Olympic curse.
Team USA curse, because it was World Cup this summer, but I'm with you.
Okay, right. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. What would I do without
you? I wondered why he wanted that job. But just in general, McMahon, the real plus minus is not that kind to Luka Doncic. I would say that your point, and it's early, but your point could
I don't
be
know.
Taken there.
I've watched a lot of Luka games, and I thought he's had a pretty good season so far.
Of course he has.
For the most pleasant surprise in the Western Conference. The second best Latvian in the league, struggles to get in a groove offensively.
So
don't take it personally.
You guys probably saw
it's going to work out. It's going to work out.
I don't want him to.
Jackie mentioned earlier.
I'm a big Denzel Valentine fan and Will Barton.
Will Barton, by the way,
Jackie
has had a great year for Denver so far. Will the Thrill. Don't be
When I think of defensive stoppers, he's the first name that comes to mind for sure.
Oh, come on. You're just dripping with sarcasm, and that guy's played
Kawhi,
well for them.
Giannis,
when Jokic has had struggles, I'm telling you, Will Barton's been very, very good for the Denver Nuggets. You're barking up the wrong tree there. Okay, continue, Brian.
So earlier, Jackie mentioned Gerrit Cole signing with the Yankees. He got a 9-year contract. Obviously, NBA, you could only sign guys to 5-year contracts if they're your player, or 4 years if they're your outside player. That got me to thinking. How many NBA players out there do you think right now, if the league allowed it, could get a 9-year contract? Like, let's say today, who gets a 9-year contract in the NBA?
Giannis, Luka.
No, there'd be others. Kawhi, if he wanted it. It's Pascal Siakam if he wanted it. Some of those guys, you would lock those guys up. But no one, here's the thing, no one in the NBA wants it because player empowerment is the order of the day. And it's very, very different than baseball in that regard. By the way, that's true, but it's more of an exercise in who do you believe. Yeah.
Okay, but who do you believe will be
has a future.
So valuable that you'd want to bank 9 years on it? In reality, if Kawhi asked for 9 years and you could give him 9, you would. But I don't know. I don't know if that would be a smart contract. None of them are ever smart.
LeBron will still be going strong in year 26.
That's a long time from now. Trae Young, would you sign Trae Young to 9 years?
Yeah. Figure
he'll fight
over a few
screens. Would you sign Jamal Murray to 9 years? I'm a bigger fan of Jamal Murray than you are. But that's okay.
Well, they used to have 7-year contracts. You used to be able to give 7 to your player and 6 to a free agent, and they had to knock it down, frankly, because the players were taking it, and the teams were, because that was available, the teams were giving them out, and they were signing, mid-level players to 6-year contracts and 5-year contracts.
The Mavs signed Eric Dampier to a 7-year deal. I mean, those were the kind of mistakes
that were
being made. Yeah, they let Steve Nash go and signed Eric Dampier. Great move. Oh, Tariq Abdul-Wahad?
What did they give to Tariq Abdul-Wahad? That was a 7-year deal, wasn't it?
I think it was 5. I have to go. And did they sign him to that, or did they inherit it? All I know is if you mention Tariq Abdul-Wahad around Cuban, he will still cuss up a storm because he was paying him for a long time to do nothing.
But Steve
Nash
was a funny thing.
Are the Pistons still paying Josh Smith?
I think they are.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was a long stretch.
I was just going to say that Steve Nash was a different kind of cat because he struggled in the beginning. He really did.
Well, they let him go. It's one of those, like, Nelly blames Cuban, Cuban blames Nelly. They thought his back was breaking down. They thought he was about to go downhill. Then he won 2 straight MVPs under Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's a little different. And by the way, Detroit is still paying Josh Smith $5.3 million.
Our producer Troy asks, "What about Donovan Mitchell?"
No.
Yeah,
no.
I mean the Jazz would sign him to a 9-year deal if they could. I can promise you that
they would.
Yeah, they would. Now he's not. Along with the rest of the Jazz, he's not having a great. They're winning now, but they're in a rough little way right. You know, these days. By the way, the fact that they're spanking the Timberwolves in Minnesota is not a great sign for the T-Wolves. They're kind of they've kind of hit the skids ever since the great CP3 bullying Scott Foster scene. God, that was so just
that was
spectacularly
amazing.
Juicy.
That was an all-timer there. You know what? That was one
bleep.
How do I put this diplomatically?
Jerk, meanie.
That was one bleep. Going head to head with another bleep, trying to out bleep each other.
Yeah, and then the poor T Wolves got the short end of the stick.
Ryan Saunders, the fact that it was Scott Foster. What did I do here?
Yeah, right. Poor Ryan Saunders. The fact that it was CP3, and I'm telling you, if there wasn't all that history with Scott Foster of CP3 publicly just ripping him to shreds. And then last year, Harden ripping him to shreds, and there just being this whole Scott Foster versus, at the time, the Rockets, but especially CP3 kind of conspiracy. That's the only reason that call was made, because CP3 basically put Scott Foster on blast, and if he doesn't make that call, which is a letter of the law call if there's ever been one, then it's a controversy that way, because, you know, there you go, Chris Paul, the best referee in the game. He does it for 48 minutes a game every single night, making the call, and it was technically accurate. I love, though, the refs coming back the next game and hit him twice on the same technicality, getting him teed up. And he goes, oh, you're on Sports Center.
I didn't see that.
Hey, you asked? Oh, no.
Yeah, he had his
Brian Forte got him twice. Both. Yeah, he checked in. He wasn't ready to roll both. They first one was delay a game. It was like, oh, good, you know, good job. You know, you got me, you got me. Then they hit him again, and they teed him up. I mean, the Thunder were up about 15 or so at the time. But, yeah, he got hit with two delay games in the next game. Old Brian Forte was getting Scott Foster's back. You're not going to show up Scott Foster without some retribution from the refs. Come on now.
I totally missed that. The Thunder, by the way, have played themselves. The Thunder are basically a 500 team now. And
they're uncomfortably good.
I wonder what they're going to
do. Uncomfortably good.
They're too good for their own good. They've got to make some trades. They got to trade Gallinari. They can't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. I think Gallinari has got to go. He's the last year of his contract. But Dennis Schroeder, if there's somebody interested in taking Dennis Schroeder, you got to trade him, I think.
Yeah. You've got to trade all your players you can get assets for that are helping you win right now. With the exception, Steven Adams to me is an exception because once this thing is rebuilt, he can still be a major part of it because of his age. But guys like Schroeder, Gallinari that are short-timers, you got to get something for them and stop winning so many games and get your butts in the lottery.
So guess who the leading scorer for the Oklahoma City
Let me tell you this.
Is? Who's the Oklahoma City Thunder's leading scorer?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right?
There you go. Most improved player.
He's obviously one who ain't getting traded. I mean, they're building
around
him.
Oh, he's fabulous. Yeah. Doc's still sad about losing him. But he'll get over it pretty quick.
Not that sad.
Well, but he really loves him. That's all I'm saying.
The thing about it is, in that market, they have to be somewhat concerned about winning. Like, I remember once they had made the two trades to ship off George and Westbrook, like, Sam Presti wrote, like, an op-ed in the Daily Oklahoman, like saying, you know, we really need your support. You know, you've gotten used to great teams. We're going to be a little bit different going forward. You're right, McMahon, in that in the laboratory, you absolutely don't. You worry about that draft pick. You trade this guy away. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a temptation there for them to try to see if they could somehow back into it.
You know what? Here's the thing.
I think you got to trade Gallinari.
I am the NBA media mayor of Oklahoma City, of Bricktown in particular. I pump Bricktown up more than anybody else in the NBA media. One of my favorite spots, the old Pink Parrot, there in the corner of Sheridan Avenue. It only holds about 200 people. There ain't much else to do in Oklahoma City. So there'll be people at the games. They have nothing better to do. Like I said, Big Rich's spot, the old Pink Parrot, only holds about 200, 250 max. And so everybody else got to go to the game.
Jackie, if he gets in a couple more plugs, he might get a couple more free drinks.
I'm just trying to figure out what the
one
heck
last thing before we go.
By the way, Big Rich played with Tariq Abdul-Wahad when he was Olivier St. Jean at San Jose State. So it's all like, you know, big circle in this podcast. This is a true story.
So Gallinari to Portland, does that make sense? Can they afford him?
You know what?
I thought so now, Jackie, because Portland, if they're going to make...
Yeah.
And it's like, he's too...
I think they need a wing
player. He's a better version of Carmelo. If Zach Collins didn't get hurt, I thought Gallinari would have made a lot of sense for Portland. Because then, you know, it's a much more well-rounded team. He gives them something that they wouldn't have had. But I just think, you know, for Portland, I think that's way too much of a win-now move for Portland.
And now that...
All right. So where do you send him?
And now that Rodney Hood is out...
Yeah, that was tough. But if we're gonna say you got to move Gallinari, shouldn't we say where he's gonna go?
I'd just say a guy who's that good in the last year of his contract that there will be interested suitors, and I do think you know, you guys correct me if you're hearing something different, that I believe that Oklahoma City is willing to take back salary that goes beyond this year if there's the picks that come along with that.
Right.
There are, I mean, obviously, Sam Presti's collecting picks left and right. I just think, you know, there will be a market for Gallinari where, man, the Jazz don't have a lot of pieces to trade because they gave up picks in the Conley deal, and then the only significant salaries they have are, you know, their key guys. It's Bogdanovich, Gobert, Ingles. You know, I mean, Donovan's still on his rookie deal. Obviously, he's not getting traded. And then, you know, Conley,
right?
I mean, his contract's—that's not an asset that people are looking to take on at this point.
Right. I'm just curious. I just if we're gonna
talk
about it.
One last thing before we go, Jeff Stotts. He is I think he's an athletic trainer.
Yep.
But he runs this website, this Twitter feed that monitors NBA injuries. In street clothes. And he put out a very interesting statistic. He sort of does a lot of analysis. So through the first 20 games of the NBA season, the total games lost to injury are up 10% over last year.
Let me ask, though.
He specifically notes that bone injuries. Yeah.
So. Okay. Does this count Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant? You know, the guys who obviously were hurt. Okay. That's and then the bone injuries. I don't know. That's kind
that
of a
mean?
Fluke deal.
Yeah. Isn't, like, how do you figure out bone injuries?
Like, that's not a wear and tear. Like, Steph Curry didn't break his hand because of any kind of wear and tear. He broke his hand because of a very unfortunate fall with a very large man falling on top of him.
Well, look, analytics people would probably step in here and say this is a small sample size, but the only thing I'm going to ask here is that we are in an era where we've been more attuned to dodging injuries than we ever have before. And the all-time record, according to Stotts, was the 17-18 season. And he says that it's on pace to equal the 17-18 season this year.
With injury, huh?
All of the efforts being attempted to slow injuries down, I mean, at least in this small sample size, you know, we're not seeing results yet.
No. Yeah, I will say bigger, faster, stronger.
I don't know what to make of it.
You know, bigger, faster, stronger. I don't think I ever passed a physics class, but I believe that means the collisions are more vicious.
Yeah, they're bigger, faster, and stronger too. It's funny, you know, this whole load management argument happened to be with Shaq and Charles yesterday for a story I was working on, and they were just scoffing at load management because they were saying how it's disrespectful to all the guys.
Oh, Shaq's not the one. Shaq's not the one to make that argument.
Well, we can discuss that if you care to. But the point he was making, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about other guys who played in, and he's right, in bad, maybe it was Charles's, I can't remember, because I confuse the two of them when they're together. They're both so hilarious. But bad shoes, you know, playing outdoors. In the summer, they used to, you know, flying commercial, one trainer, maybe knew what he was doing, maybe he didn't, you know, just the climate then as opposed to now, and yet the injuries keep increasing with all these advantages that these players have, with all the state-of-the-art facilities and brilliant minds that are watching over them, the best equipment you could possibly hope for, and especially the best shoes you could possibly consider. And yet injuries continue to happen. They're part of the game.
Well, the one thing about the teams, they're doing such intensive work now on watching for preventative stuff, like, you know, monitoring their players with wearable technology in practice.
Yeah.
Monitoring, you know, oh boy, this guy's had, you know, a heavy stress load the last 4 days, so today let's give him today off. You know, there's a lot of money in technology and intelligence being applied to predictive analysis. And
right.
I mean, there's no statistic that says what injuries have been prevented. We don't know that. But it's disappointing. And I'm not saying I have any answer. I'm just saying it's disappointing that this, you know, we're in an era right now where over the last couple of years, we just have an incredible amount of injuries. And it's really hurting the league. It really, really is. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to figure out, you know, how the league can be better, you know, what to do about the ratings. Keeping the star players healthy is absolutely vital. And
yeah,
you know,
I mean, being able to tune in and watch Klay Thompson and Steph Curry would help. Being able to watch Kevin Durant would help, that's for sure.
Of course, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a worrisome trend that the injuries seem to be getting worse, not better. It's worrisome.
Well, again, with all the technology, as you say, and all the advantages, it's there's something there that doesn't make sense, right?
I can't figure it
out. Yeah. I will say, I think all the advantages, like all the what we're talking about, I think that has helped lengthen careers. I don't have, like, the statistical stuff in front of me, but it does seem like there's more guys who are playing deep into their 30s and, you know, even into the, in some cases, early 40s than in the past. I mean, right. What LeBron's doing in year 17 of his career is just ridiculous. Now, he was obviously young when
Baxter
he came in,
Holmes,
but still.
Baxter Holmes did that piece, a series of pieces over the summer where he put forth the theory that a lot of people have, that the heavy play in youth basketball, a lot of games over the course of a year, is leading to injuries.
Couldn't agree more with that piece. Lived it on a smaller scale with my own kids. Couldn't agree more with, if you guys ever, I don't know, Tim, if your girls play AAU, but you go there and you play just a ridiculous amount of games. Kids who are 10, 12 years old. And you stop playing other sports, so you're not cross-training, which we did not do. But plenty of other families did, and I understood why. Because they were very good at one sport and just okay at the other. And the sport they are very good at, the coaches are telling them, if you really focus on this, perhaps you can get a scholarship, which, of course, is the worst thing you can ever say to a parent, because 98% of them are not getting any money at all. And that's a very, very real thing. I've seen it with my
own. And not only are they playing a ton of games, but like most of these tournaments, maybe there's one or two trainers there, but it's not like, you know, it's not like
any,
these big time travel teams or travel any sort of medical personnel. They're eating like crap. They're eating a bunch of fast food. You know, I would be, because I've
talked to gyms
about
this too. And the credentials of the coaches, right? How about the credentials of the coaches? I don't know. I should find out before I say this, but I'm not exactly sure it's the most rigorous process in the world to become an AU basketball coach.
You know, I'd be interested in a study comparing guys who came up in like the European club system in terms of health to guys who came up in the AAU system to see if there's any sort of correlation there.
The Europeans definitely play less games. They do more practicing and more drilling, but they definitely play less games. I don't know what it all means. I just know that it alarmed me to see that number.
You've written about the academy, like NBA teams. A lot of them wish they could replicate the European club system to a certain degree. They want academies for the best prospects here, and that's a big part of why.
They'd love to have academies, but they don't want to be responsible for taking care of, teaching, disciplining teenagers. So they've stopped short of that.
Doesn't the NBA have international academies in both China and other in Africa and other countries? I believe that they
bunch
do.
Of countries. Yeah.
Yep, they do.
The
they
custodian have Brian Cardinal's involved in all that.
They have one in Africa. They have three actually in China. They opened one in Mexico City. They have one in Australia where they send all of their top-level international players down there to that one outside.
Speaking of Australia and big-time prospects, both Hampton and Ball now are out for a month or so with injuries.
Man.
According to our man, Draft Express.
Man. Lonzo Ball, when's he going to – like, Lonzo Ball, how come he never plays any of these games? Lonzo Ball, I want Lonzo Ball to be good. I want to see him – he's changed his shot. We had an interesting story about that. But my goodness, every year there's some injury that just, you know, how many games has he played this year? Eight, I think? Seven or eight games? Is that it?
Mm.
I know he's playing now, right? He's playing back. He's back playing. He's been back playing.
I honestly just saw the Pelicans, and I don't remember anybody playing the game I saw. The Mavericks beat him by 46.
No, he's playing because I think he came back after Thanksgiving.
There was a Zion sighting in Dallas, not on the court, but I saw him, you know, working out in the hallways and whatnot. And
he's going to need a little bit of time to get in game shape.
Yeah, will not be happening on Christmas Day, which is another unfortunate for the league. But thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll be talking to you next week. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jackie. Mm-hmm.